Welcome to Love 101. We call the program that because while most Christians know that Bible teaching is important, even many Bible teachers don't know or have forgotten that according to 1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of Bible teaching is love, out of a pure heart and a good conscience and an unhypocritical faith. The Apostle Paul goes on to say that if you miss this point, your Bible teaching is empty talk. I'm Larry Bunton, one of the pastors at Heritage Baptist Church in North Sioux City. It is my privilege to take one book of the Bible and go through it verse by verse each week to see what God wants us to know about loving Him and each other. Let's look at today's passage.
1 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul is now going to sum up what Christ said about divorce. And this is very important that we understand that here Paul is summarizing Christ's teaching on divorce. And people always call that the exception clause, except for the cause of adultery. That was the Jews under Roman law. That's what that, where that exception clause was. Now Paul tells Christians what Christ said about divorce. Verse 10. And to the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. Now, what was Christ's view on divorce for the church? Don't do it. Husband's not to divorce his wife, and the wife is not to divorce her husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried. Now, there's an interesting thing. Does a divorce break a marriage? Yes, it does. Don't use the term I hear pastors throw around sometimes, married in God's sight. God says divorce breaks a marriage. It might be sin, but it still destroys the marriage. He says, let her remain unmarried. She's not considered a married. He says, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. If you know any believer that's got a divorce, I suggest you tell them to remain unmarried until that person remarries at least. Because God could always work in that person's heart. You say, you don't know my ex-mate. Well, you don't know the grace of God. God saved some real rascals before. And God can transform that person's life. And when you say, you don't know my mate, you're saying, I don't believe God can do it, is what you're saying. So you remain unmarried till that person remarries. And in that case, you cannot go back to that person. Now, today we begin in verse 12. This is for believers. What's Paul going to say that Christ never spoke about? He says, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. He says, now I'm going to talk to somebody that Christ never spoke about. Well, who was that? If any brother hath a wife that believe not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. He's going to talk about a Christian married to a non-Christian. Now, why did Christ never speak about this? Because the church didn't exist when Christ was on earth. When Christ spoke about divorce, he was speaking about it under Jewish law. He did not speak about it under the grace of the church. Paul has summarized his teaching to the church, don't do it. But what if you're married to an unsaved person? Because some people are saying, look, if my mate doesn't get saved, I have this terrible marriage, and marriage is supposed to be a picture of Christ in the church, so I'll just go get in a different marriage. What does Paul say about that? But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believe not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. He said, don't divorce her if she agrees to live with you. Now, why does he say that? Look at the next verse. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, now they are holy. He says, as long as that saved person is in that household, it sets that maid apart so God can work on them in particular. You see, the first thing a Christian has to do that leaves an unsaved person is they have to say, I don't care about their salvation. I don't care that God says He can work on them specifically as long as I'm here. I don't care that he says he works specifically with my children as long as I'm here. I don't care about that. Let me repeat what I said before the message. It's not about you. It's about the glory of God. You know, it interests me that I know very few Christians don't say, well, it was God's will for some Christians to die in the concentration camps during the Nazis. It's God's will for some of the Christians in China to be in prison right now under the communists. It's God's will for some of those people to get sold into slavery in the Sudan because they claim to be Christians. But it's not God's will for me to stay with that nasty mate of mine. Listen, you stay where God has called you. And as much as it's your responsibility, you stay there no matter how bad it gets. You stay there. Now, we pointed out last week, and it should go without saying, we're not talking about physical abuse. Ladies, the first time your husband lays a hand on you, you call the police. The very first time. You're not loving him if you don't call the police. You have to call him into account. Gentlemen, we hear of anybody laying a hand on their wife, and we call the police if your wife doesn't have the courage to. That is sin, it's wrong, and it's to be dealt with by the authorities. We're not talking about physical abuse. But we're talking about the difficulties that couples can have and the problems that they have. But you say, well, what if they won't live with them? Look at verse 15. What if an unsaved person refuses to live with a saved person? But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. He says, if you're married to an unbeliever, they choose to live with you, you're to let them go. Now you say, well, what could you do about it? Well, in Paul's day, the woman belonged to the husband. She was a piece of property. And so the husband could refuse to let her go. Paul's saying, don't use legal means to keep them with you. Don't use physical force to keep them with you. If the unbelieving depart, let them depart. And then he says this phrase, which has to be explained later on. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. If you're living with an unsaved person and they just refuse to live with you, then God says to let them go because he has ultimately called us to peace. And then he says in verse 16, the question I already brought up, the person says, you don't know how bad my mate is. You don't know how. And you know what I always think when I think of how bad somebody's mate is? I think of women I talked to in New Jersey. One lady was a nurse, and anything she bought for the house, the husband would sell to get drug money. And I think of women like this, and I think of a man that I've told so many stories about him. He was a blessing to every man in our church, and all you had to do was spend a half hour with him, and you wanted to go home and kiss your wife's feet. So he got saved after they were married. They both had a rough background, and she went out and had a baby by another man, and she just told him she kept him around to support her. She'd poured boiling water on him. She'd shoved him down the stairs twice. She put out lit cigarettes on him while he was sleeping. And it was interesting, this man, everybody he knew told him, look, you've got reasons to leave her. He said, but if I leave her, how's she going to get saved? He says, I think God's going to save her. And he lived in his basement for 4 years because she wouldn't let him live upstairs with her and the family. And it wasn't till after we left that church that she got saved and her children got saved and her sister got saved. And her sister's husband got saved, and their family got saved. And when I went back to visit the church, guess who was superintendent of the Sunday school? His son, who got saved later on. Listen, I don't know anybody that wouldn't have told that man he could divorce that wife. But he claimed this passage and said, God can save her if I hang in there. It was just amazing. Another man I knew, and I've told you this before, knocked on my door at 3 o'clock in the morning one time. I went down there. He's in his 70s, real feisty little guy. And he handed me a note, and it was from some other pastor in the town, a Bible-believing pastor, but didn't do much counseling. He said, so-and-so just got saved. He needs counseling. I said, well, thanks a lot. And so he came. He wasn't saved. God might have been working his heart. But I talked to him every day for the next month. And about every other day, he'd come to my office. And his wife had left him is why he was so upset. And he'd go into such fits of rage, he'd run and ram his head into the wall of my office. And I'd have stopped him, but it was cinder block, he couldn't hurt it. And he bloodied his forehead on my office wall more than once. This is what rage this man had. And I came to see God work in his heart, and he got saved, and he was transformed. And it was interesting. He says, well, how do I reach my wife? He says, I want more than anything else to reach my wife. And I said, well, what was the problem she had? He goes, oh, he says, I don't know. He said, you know how women are. And I said, there must have been some clue. And he brought me a stack of letters this high of her begging him to go to counseling. And I said, you don't have a clue? And he goes, well, now that I look back on it, he was worthless as a husband. And then he found out she was going to get married, and he called me. Evidently, she was having an affair during this time, and he called me and he said, Larry, she's going to get married, and I can't let her get married without knowing the gospel clearly. Her next marriage is going to be as bad as ours was, and I don't want her to go through that. Boy, I wish I could get more couples to have that attitude toward their mate. He says, I've got to go witness to her. I said, why don't you call her and ask her if you can talk to her? And but he didn't do it. He went right over there. And he's banging on the front door. Can you imagine with a guy like that banging on your front door? Your fiance's there. You just finished the divorce with him. You're getting ready to marry this guy. She calls the cops. And so the cops get there and they handcuff him and he tells them, look, she's going to get married. She doesn't know what it means to be a Christian. She's going to have a bad, I don't want that to happen to her. I just want to witness to her. Will you let me witness to her? The cops took him in and set him on the couch and let him witness to both of them. You see, this marriage thing, if you look at it from the Word of God, it's a completely different thing. It's not about you. God had you marry that person for it to be about them and about Him and trusting Him to take care of your part of it. But if the unbelieving depart, verse 16, for how knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband, or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? And that's why I tell people who've gone through a divorce, and you know how horrible divorce is? By the way, I've done a lot of counseling, over 15,000 hours of counseling. It doesn't mean I know all the answers, but I've heard most of the questions. Do you know how devastating divorce is? Next to losing a young adult child, divorce is the most devastating thing I know people go through. Some of them become a completely different person. Their personality changes. It's just amazing, the power of divorce. And if you've gone through it, my heart goes out to you. But God can heal that heart. He can change that wound. He can use it for His glory if you allow Him to. But He says, if you're divorced, why remain unmarried or be reconciled? Verse 16. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or what knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? He says, how do you know that God won't use this to save them? You care more about you being married and gratifying your desires than you do about their soul? Well, that might be a clue of why the marriage had problems to begin with. When I see a couple having trouble, if I can get one of them to think of the other person's spiritual good, then God can begin to work in that relationship. Just one of them. But when neither one of them will, and they both selfishly want what they want, now again, am I saying everybody that's involved in divorce is sin? No. Remember we pointed out last week? God hates divorce according to Malachi 2:6, but God is divorced according to Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 8. So we can't say everybody that's involved in divorce is sin. That's ridiculous because God gave Judah a bill of divorcement. And so he says in verse 16, how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. He says, here's an important principle. Stay where God called you. Look what he says in verse 18. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Now, you say, well, how can he do that? Believe it or not, they had a cosmetic operation in that day to try to hide the fact that a man had become circumcised as a Jew, so he could be more readily accepted, especially in Greek circles. But that might not be all of he's talking about. He's talking about, don't go out of your way to act like you're uncircumcised if God called you as a Jew. And then he says, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. You know what he's saying? It doesn't matter how painful it is, the divorce you're going through. What matters is that you do what God wants you to do. That's why you heard me stress last week that I don't care if you agree with me or not. I want you to know what the Word of God says. So if you have gone through or are going through or someday will go through divorce, you can say, God, to the best of my ability, I did what you said to do. Because you're going to have to answer to God for it, not me. And that's what he says. Circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping the commandments of God. Marriage is nothing, unmarriage is nothing but keeping the commandments of God. Divorce is nothing, not divorce is nothing but keeping the commandments of God. He says, let every man abide in the same calling wherewith he was called. Are you called being a slave? Don't get upset about it. That's where God called you. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. Almost all commentaries today say that he's saying, but if you can be made free, go ahead and be made free. To me, that's inconsistent with the passage. I think he's saying that even if you have a chance to be made free, if God has you in that place and you can serve God there, use slavery to glorify God. I know that's un-American. I know it's contrary to everything we say, but according to the context, he's saying stay where you were called. The grammar's not explicit. I think there's two conjunctions there. And it would probably be more accurately translated, but even if thou be, may be made free, use it rather. That's why I lean toward that interpretation. But the thrust of this passage is stay where God called you. Verse 22, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. And likewise, he that is called being free is a Christ's slave. You are brought with a price, be not servants of men. Brethren, let every man, wherein he is called, there abide with God. If you got saved after you had a divorce and remarried, that's exactly where God wants you. You don't go looking for things to have problems with. God says wherever he calls you as a Christian, that was his will for you to be there. He says, verse 25, now concerning virgins. Now, the problem here, we don't exclusively use it to refer to women, the word virgin, but the Greek does not. Case in point, those 144,000 Jewish evangelists in the book of the Revelation are virgins, the Word of God says. So we can dogmatically say it's an unmarried person. We have to define it by its context as according to where it's talking about a man or a woman. Now concerning, I think, unmarried people, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that have obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose that it is good for the present distress. Now we might translate that impending crisis. Paul thought there was a crisis coming, whether it was in the church at Corinth or whether it was a persecution of Christians that was coming in particular, we don't know. He says, for the impending crisis, I say, it is good for a guy to be single. Listen, if you have to go through persecution, it's much easier to go through single. He says, in the present crisis, I think it's good for a man to be single. And then verse 27 and 28, he sums up the New Testament teaching on divorce. He says, art thou bound to a wife? Now, what does that mean? Some people say, well, he doesn't say married. Does he mean handcuffed? Does he mean tied up? No, he means married. Are you married? He says, seek not to be loosed. What's he mean? Don't try to kill your wife? That's one way of being loosed, isn't it? Okay. The other way is what? Divorce. He says, are you married? Don't seek a divorce. That's what God said. He says, art thou loosed from a wife? In the context, what's he saying? Are you divorced? Seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a single person marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in this flesh, but I spare you. We'll talk about that next week. But what do these verses say? He says in verse 27, are you bound to a wife? Don't seek to be divorced. Are you divorced from a wife? Don't seek to be married. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. To me, it's obvious from the Word of God, there are people who are divorced that have the right to remarry. Now, that's what we have to find out from the context. Who are these people? Look back up to verse 15. If the unbelieving depart, let them depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. If you're married to an unsaved person, and they refuse to live with you, and they go off, the Bible says, you're not bound. I think that's a legitimate basis for divorce. And that you can remarry, although I don't recommend it. Especially until that person is remarried. Because God could bring them to himself, and you could remarry. And it could be a glorious testimony to the grace of God. But when it says, the unbelieving depart, let him depart, brother, sister is not in bondage, God hath called us to peace. There is a situation where a Christian can have an unsaved person depart. So the obvious question is, well, Larry, then, if you're married to a Christian, you can never get a divorce. No, that's not what I said. Look back over at Matthew chapter 18 that we went to in chapter 6 also, Matthew chapter 18. Now, it's interesting, Matthew chapter 18, the chapter on forgiveness, is right before Matthew chapter 19, the chapter on divorce. The reason two believers never have to have a divorce is they can always forgive one another. They can always forgive one another. But can two believers ever get a divorce? Remember Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. You're in the midst of a marriage, and your mate is being unfaithful. And they're having an affair with several different people. And you go to them and you say, this is sin. You're not right with God. I want you to be right with God. Stop it. And they refuse. And so you take a Christian brother or sister with you, and they go and they say, is this true? And the person says, yeah, what of it? And they say, look, this is contrary to the word of God. It's sin. Stop it. And the person says, go fly a kite. I'm not going to stop it. And so you take it to the church, and the Word of God says, and if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. Verse 17, but if he neglect to hear the church, let him be to thee as a what? Heathen man and a publican, as an unsaved person. Two Christians should only get a divorce if one of them has been disciplined by a Bible-teaching church. You see, the main reason divorce is such a problem in our country is because the churches don't go by the Word of God. The Word of God says, if the unbelieving depart, let them depart. If the church says we're to treat them as an unbeliever and they want to leave you, what's the Word of God say? The believer is not in bondage in such cases. And if you were in a situation like that and your church did not deal with it, my heart goes out to you. You still need to be a better expert on the Word of God than I am as far as divorce is, to make sure you know what God has taught. But if there's a believer married to a person that claims to be a believer, that has been disciplined by the church and to be treated as an unbeliever, and that person departs, let them depart. I personally would never counsel a Christian to get a divorce. The emphasis here seems to be if the unbelieving depart. And I've seen some horrific situations, by the way. I just gave you illustrations of some horrific situations. But I've seen more of the situations where people are married to an unsaved person and they just think it's such a terrible thing. And I hesitate to use this illustration because I just used it a while back of the lady in a church we attended in Indiana. And she was kind of dowdy looking, and she was clean, but she never looked like she had done her hair, and her kids wore wrinkled clothes. Their clothes were clean, but they were wrinkled. And every time she got a chance, she asked people to pray for her marriage because it was so terrible. So one day I stopped her in the hall after Sunday school class where she asked for prayer for her husband. And I said, you know, I've been praying for you and your husband. Does he physically abuse you? Oh, no, no. Does he not work and make you provide for the family? Oh, no, he provides very well for the family. Does he sell your stuff and do drugs? Oh, no, no. Well, what does he do? Well, he watches football on Sunday. He what? He watches football on Sunday. He never comes to church with me. When we got married, he claimed to be a Christian. And so I said, have you ever watched football with him? She goes, why would I do that? I go, because you're his wife. And that's what he likes doing. Have you ever done it? I said, what horrible thing does he do to you? She goes, he doesn't come to church. He's not the spiritual leader. I said, he's probably not saved. He can't be the spiritual leader. You have to put him in the place of leadership in the home. And that takes a lot of finesse. You never need to concentrate on what the Word of God says about being a wife. And we kept talking, and finally I got to a point where I said, look, if I were married to you, I wouldn't want your God either. Because your God's a pretty selfish God. And your God, you care more about yourself than you do about your mate. It's obvious. And she got mad and laughed. And next Sunday she came back and she said, I thought about what you said, and what should I do? I said, next Sunday, watch the football game with him, making some snacks. Ask him if he wants to invite friends over. She said, that's not very spiritual. I said, it's very friendly though, isn't it? And so she did it, and she come back next week, and she said, what I do now? I said, what else does he like to do? And we got her involved in her husband's life. And you know what happened a couple months later? Her husband started coming to church with her. You see, we got so many Christians that think it's all about them. And I've not yet had somebody come to me, except for the one that I told you about. I've not yet had somebody come to me and say, my mate's abusing me, and I'm burdened for their soul. How do I help them come to God? People usually come and say, I'm at my wit's end. I can't live like this. I. It's not about you. It's about God. And so, summarizing what we've just said very quickly, what the Lord taught about marriage is, for believers, don't do it. But if you're married to an unsaved person and they refuse to live with you, you're to let them go. You're not to hang on to them legally, but you should remain unmarried until they get remarried, because God could work a miracle in their life and transform them. And then he says, are you bound to a wife? Verse 27, he says, don't seek a divorce. Are you divorced from a wife? Don't seek a wife. Stay where God has you until you're sure he wants you somewhere else. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. If an unbeliever has left you through no fault of your own, and they've married somebody else, then in some cases, you have the biblical right to remarry. The reason we don't make blanket statements is every situation, you have to ask questions about it. And that's why most churches say, any divorce anytime, or no divorce, no how. Because you don't have to deal with problems. But the Word of God is very specific about what to do about this. Two believers can only get a divorce, according to the Word of God, if one of them has been declared to be treated as an unbeliever according to the Word of God. It's very clear.
Thanks for sharing your valuable time with us. We have two goals for this program. If you are not a Christian, we want you to know how to become one. And if you've already trusted Christ, we want to encourage you to become part of a Bible-teaching church so you can grow in Christ and use your spiritual gift to build others in the faith. If we may help you with either of these opportunities, drop us a note at Heritage Baptist Church, P.O. Box 1787, North Sioux City, South Dakota, 57049. Or visit our website at heritagebaptistnorthsioux.com. That's one word, heritagebaptistnorthsioux.com. If you would like to be part of our ministry, pray for us on a regular basis. And if the Lord does not return, we look forward to meeting with you again next week.